Hello and welcome, Transformation Talk Radio listeners and podcast listeners everywhere. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the pushy broad from the Bronx.
She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York. Follow her voice, a straight talk and nice. She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, oh yeah. Don't be surprised if you wanna listen twice. Make decisions, find the right choice. Know yourself better, find your own voice. It's okay if you need help today, cause everybody needs a little push. From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York.
There have been so many pivotal moments in history, even in my lifetime as a baby boomer. I remember certain things that stand out as landmarks in time, not only for me personally, but for the world. Everybody that was alive when President John F. Kennedy was shot can tell you where they were and what they were doing when they heard the news. If you ask anybody in the United States where you were when the towers fell on September 11th, 2001, each and every one of us could tell you where we were. And now we've come to a point in time in our lives that really is another landmark event. We have been faced, at least for the past couple of months, and especially for the last 2 weeks, with a virus that the World Health Organization labeled a pandemic on March 11th. Not in our lifetime have we seen anything like this. And we are taking measures that are somewhat unnatural to our existence. And not only are we taking steps to help prevent the disease, but we are now coping with a multitude of emotions surrounding living in fear of contracting the virus, not being able to get adequate help if you are sick, not understanding what to do, and constantly fearing for the worst. We live in uncertain times. We are living with anxiety, uncertainty, and helplessness. The reality that we knew is no longer the reality that we have. Being in this situation is almost surreal. How do we cope with what sometimes feels like insurmountable fear? How do we emotionally adjust to this new reality? Because this is a new world. And the things that we have normally done, we are no longer allowed to do. And these are generating feelings that are constant and real and not changing for a long time. We don't feel safe. This disease can affect anybody, anywhere in the world. We feel vulnerable. We feel a loss of control. And we worry about the future. In normal conditions, these reactions may tend to fade, but in the current situation, it's more difficult to cope because we do not know when there is going to be an end in sight. Our fears and insecurities are running rampant. They are palpable. They are constant. We must learn how to manage our fears. Not to put them on the side and negate them and to make them seem like they're non-existent, but to face them and to find a way to live and work productively through them. This episode is going to talk about the healthy ways we cope with living in our current reality. So I want to take this opportunity, this radio show, to talk to you about some of the hopeful things, some of the things that we can do to keep our spirits up, some of the things that we can do to keep our mind and our bodies and our brains in a positive situation, to maximize our health and to spread hope around the world. Here is Pushy Broad from the Bronx. I am delighted to bring you my weekly podcast program, which I hope will inspire you, coach you,
sometimes make you laugh,
and give you the push moment you need to move forward. And I'm going to do it the pushy broad way. Straight up, no BS, easy, quick, with answers, suggestions, and directions that will give you a coaching experience that will be part cheerleader and part drill sergeant. Because everybody needs a little push from time to time. And here comes yours.
Everybody needs a little push.
Everybody needs a little push.
Everybody needs a little push.
One of the most common questions that my listeners have been talking to me about is the fact that because we have to live under these strange circumstances right now, we're all feeling very isolated. Most of the states in the United States are on permanent lockdown, and across the world we are told that staying at home, socially distancing, and isolation is the way that this pandemic will begin to de-escalate. I'm going to read a few emails from my listeners. Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I'm single and live alone. We're on lockdown and I must stay at home. How do I cope with this isolation during this global virus crisis? Let's take a look at the definition of isolation or to isolate. The definition of isolate is to separate a person from others, to be separate and away, extracting a part from the whole. Synonyms for isolation are separation, segregation, quarantine, insulation, seclusion, closeting, shielding, partitioning, solitariness, loneliness, aloneness, remoteness, inaccessibility. Those words are pretty devastating, and it makes us feel sometimes like we're in prison. And I need you to understand something. If this had happened to us even 15 years ago, we would not have been able to be as connected to the world as we even are today. We couldn't tweet. We couldn't use Skype. We couldn't have the accessibility on Instagram or even YouTube or Facebook in the way we have it now. Please try not to think of this as isolation. Understand that we can be connected in so many different ways. All you have to do is FaceTime a friend. You can physically see them. Remember that you don't often get to see a lot of the people that you know. I have friends in Colorado, Florida, California, Tennessee, Georgia, North Carolina. These are my close friends. And although I may not even be able to see them often, I can always communicate with them. So understand, in reality, you are no more isolated from your friends than you were before. Think about it. I am able to speak to every one of the people that I love. And not only that, but through today's technology, I can actually see them. So that we're the thing that we're missing the most in isolation is actually human touch. We want to touch somebody. We want to hug them. We want to be in their physical presence. But there are so many things we can do right now to de-escalate the isolated feelings that we have by reconnecting with old friends and people that we love. And basically, it's a lot easier to connect with people now because we know that we'll catch them. They'll be home. So you can call someone and chances are you will get them on the line. You will get them on a FaceTime call or a Skype call or a Zoom call. Whereas before, working in our daily lives and going about our schedule, it may have been more difficult to connect with people that you haven't seen in a while. So think about it. We're not really isolated. And when you put that in perspective, it gets a lot easier to handle. You are not alone. You are not on an island with no communication. Your friends and your family are exactly where they were before. And you can reach out and talk to them at any time. Here's another letter from one of my listeners. Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I'm so stressed and worried as I listen to the news every day and more people are infected with COVID-19. I'm nervous and worried all the time. How can I eliminate some of this stress to function better? I'll give it to you straight, just like the Pushy Broad would. Turn off the TV. or turn off those stations that are constantly giving you the news. I can tell you this from personal experience. The best weekend I had was this past weekend when I gave myself 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, not to listen to the news. Because here it is. If you are self-quarantining or you have been told by your governor or your government to stay at home in a lockdown, then you know exactly what you need to do. You already know that you have groceries that you need. You already know what stores are open and what aren't open. You already know that the virus is going to get worse and the cases are going to get worse before it gets better. So your job is to take care of you. Which means that you do not need updates on the world. You just need updates on what will directly affect you. And if you go to the CDC website and list yourself as one of those people that wants updates, then you'll get something in your news feed on your phone if there's something that you really need to know. But bombarding yourself with disastrous news and letting your head be filled with negative media surrounding the disease will not help you mentally whatsoever. I need you to socially distance yourself from the news about the virus. Just find the essentials and then distract yourself. You already know what's going on. You already know that this is going to take a while, probably another month or two. Let's get real, live in the present moment and the reality of the situation, and decide for yourself that you will concentrate on the other things in your life that make your everyday life productive and meaningful. Stop watching the news. You already know what's happening. I can't tell you how much this has helped me over the past couple of days return my life to normal thinking and normalcy, and I am advocating this to every single one of my clients. Also, go on YouTube. All of the celebrities are doing wonderful things. They're making you laugh. They are evoking positive emotions and positive feelings. Get the positive in and let the negative go. Stop watching the news. You will feel so much better. I guarantee it. Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I'm so angry with people that don't seem to fully understand how important social distancing is right now, especially the younger generation. My state has only begun to ask for self-quarantine measures. How do I get over this anger? Quite honestly, you let everybody worry about everybody else, and you worry about you. Make sure that when you go out, you need to do things that make you feel comfortable. So if you feel like wearing gloves and a mask and that makes you feel comfortable, then that's what you do. You should go to the CDC website, the Center for Disease Control, and follow their protocols. It doesn't matter whether or not the whole world is on quarantine. You have to do what's good for you. And that means protecting yourself in every way you can so that your health is safeguarded at all times and the health of others is also safeguarded. I distanced myself from people about a week before my state was officially in a lockdown. I need you to do the same. The person that takes care of you is you, and that has to hold true for yourself and your family members. If you are a senior citizen and you want to socially distance yourself or put yourself in isolation from the rest of your family, then despite what they have to say, you have to make those decisions. It can be a matter of life and death. So understand how important your life is. Try to go to the supermarket when there are off hours. Call and have groceries ordered for you. Find ways to take care and protect yourself. That is the most important thing. And you need to learn to let the anger go. Everybody will find out on their own what measures they want to take to keep themselves safe. And every single mayor of every town and every governor of every state will dictate those proceedings. It is not up to you to try to pass the word on in a way that will get you angry and upset. Be calm, peaceful, and self-serving in a way that allows you to take care of yourself and be responsible about it. That means that you have to adhere to the advice of the CDC. If you are a young person, a millennial, and you decide that you want to congregate with other people and do things that are not healthy, I urge you to change the way you think. I urge you to take a different stand. I urge parents to talk to their children about what they cannot do at this time. But you must let that anger go, because it will not serve you well at all. Just take care of yourself. Here is another letter from one of my listeners. Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, this crisis is so overwhelming that I am having trouble concentrating, and that is affecting my sleep and my thinking. How do I handle this? Understand that maybe a couple of days or a week you're going to go through this. Nobody is having a peaceful sleep, let's face it. You may get very tired and you may fall asleep and you may wake up in a panic. The first thing that I need you all to remember is that we are all feeling this way. And I know you've heard those words before, but I need you to take them in. You are not alone. Everything that we are feeling, anxiety, uncertainty, helplessness, a sense of vulnerability, loss of control, feeling overwhelmed, feeling fearful or sad or angry or helpless, all of these things we are all feeling. The idea is to allow ourselves to feel these feelings and then understand that feelings are not facts. Understand that we can change the way we feel by focusing ourselves and by living in the present reality. All of these negative feelings represent situations that we are anticipating will occur. We're afraid that something's going to happen to us. We're nervous and upset, and we feel out of control because of what we are anticipating happening. But when we take stock and we live in the present, and wherever our feet are, that's where our brain has to be, we look around and say, we are healthy today. We are home and safe. We have a roof over our heads. Our family is safe. Our loved ones and our friends are safe. I am feeling physically well today. I do not have any symptoms of the disease. And today I am doing well. And if that's where you are in reality today, I need you to hold on to that feeling. Which means even if you have to say those things over and over again, every single time your negativity spins out of control, then that is what you must do, because that is what we are all doing, and that's what every coach and every therapist is going to tell you to do. Live in the present moment. Look at your surroundings. Assess your level of risk. Assess your safety concerns. And assess your general condition. Are you okay right now? Are you feeling good right now? Are you safe right here and now? Is your family safe right here, right now? And that's where you must live, in the present, right here, right now. And that takes practice. And you may have to say it over and over again, but that's how we get through it. We'll be right back. Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today. Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, Can you give me some suggestions as to ways I can feel like I am being productive during this crisis when we are forced to stay at home? I would like to feel like I can regain some control in what seems to be a very vulnerable situation. And because of this, I feel that I don't have any control. One of the best ways to feel like we're in control again and be productive is to try to change our focus from the problems to our immediate solutions. Stay active in your home. Determine the things you do have control over. When you get up in the morning, how you take care of your body, whether you decide to do some work or to try something new to keep yourself busy. You should set yourself a routine that you can follow. Make sure that you feel that your day is productive. If you decide that your routine in the morning is to get up, shower, get dressed, rather than stay in sweats or pajamas all day because you are home, then make it a point to schedule your day so that you are doing different things and just not lying around the house. If you don't have work to go to or you don't have to work from home, then maybe you want to learn new things. Maybe you want to take a language course or you want to start to do some more cooking or you want to read some novels. Put a combination of productivity and learning into your schedule on a daily basis. Try to stay active. With the technology that we have, you can do exercise classes online. You can listen to a variety of things that will help improve your brain and your spirits. You can do exercises with classes that you've taken online. You can create a sense of safety in others so that others can learn from you, including your children. You must talk to your children in a way that they will understand you, depending upon their age and what's appropriate for them to know. But children will certainly follow your example. So you have to show them that you are taking care of you and they will take care of themselves so that you can protect them properly. You have to try to reduce the negative impact of this disease. As long as you are feeling well, you have to try to do as many positive things as you can in the house on a regular basis. You have to try to reconnect with others. You have to try to maintain daily and work routines as much as possible. Connecting through technology, routine creates confidence and the feeling of being productive. Make sure you balance your schedule. Also, we all have roles to play. We are human beings, but we are mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and wives and cousins and husbands. Stick to the roles in your life, whether you're parents or children or workers or friends. You must give legitimacy to your emotions and the emotions of others around you. We must take action to organize ourselves, to change for the long term. Understand that you're still going to take this one day at a time. It's extremely important to know that you cannot project down the road and say to yourself, I don't know how long it's going to be, and start to stress and worry about how many months we're going to be doing this. We get up in the morning and every day is a new day. We live in the moment and we think about one day at a time. Think of all the wonderful things you wanted to do and never had a chance to do it. Think of how many times you've said to yourself, I wish I had more time to do this, but everything else gets in the way. Now you have more time. Be creative. Think out of the box. Maybe you want to start a new business online. Maybe you want to build something in your house. Maybe you want to do that early spring cleaning. Finally, clean out the shoe closet or change your clothing wardrobe or redecorate your house. You want to change things around and move the furniture, or you want to do that laundry that's been sitting there for a week. Do the things that you've always said you wanted to do but didn't have a chance to do. make your house more comfortable and livable. Do some creative work. Start drawing or painting or coloring or knitting or crocheting. Learn to play an instrument. Plant a garden. All of those things are possible to you now. Maybe you want to adopt a pet so that you're able to feel some more love in your life. But more importantly, become a leader. A leader in your home and in your community and with the friends that you speak to online and on the phone. Be positive and optimistic. Be grateful. Be grateful for the days that you have, the days that you're healthy. Take care of your health. Give yourself a new regime. Try some new beauty tricks. Experiment with a new hair color. All of the things that you wanted to do and you didn't have the time to do. Realize that this situation can be a freeing experience if you begin to reframe how you feel about things. And even though we were isolating, we are not in a situation where we're not allowed outside. You can still go into your backyard. You can take a hike in the woods. You can walk around the block as long as you keep away from and keep your normal 6 feet away from people in social distancing. At least that's what some states are allowed to do, and I need you to follow and be cognizant of what you can and can't do. But you have to reframe the way you look at things. So now that you're able to do some things at home, be grateful that you can. And keep remembering that you are not in prison. You have the whole world out there. You have the whole world still at your fingertips when it comes to technology and seeing people and talking to each other. You're not in solitary confinement. Change the way you think about this and you will get through it. We will all get through this. We'll be right back. Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today. Although this is a scary time, and we're all dealing with our own level of fear surrounding this situation, I wanted to take the opportunity and spend a few minutes talking to you about how we can all have a relationship with fear. Maybe a relationship that we've never really had before. So I wanted to insert here something that I did in a previous episode, which talks about having a relationship with fear. This is not even specific to this virus and to this particular situation. But the tools surrounding the next few minutes will give you a really good idea of what I mean in terms of reframing how you live with fear, how you understand it, how you process it, how you move forward in that process. So take a few minutes and listen to this, not only around what we're currently facing, but how to process fear in general. This will be very helpful. Do you remember what it was like when you were a kid? Maybe not afraid of anything? And now, as we look at our lives and the things we must face, we seem to be afraid of everything? If we try to look at fear as something we have to have a relationship with, then maybe fear doesn't seem so daunting. If we can walk hand in hand with our fears, embrace them, understanding that fear is a part of life, something that we will have to negotiate with, and something that will come in and out of our lives on a regular basis, then maybe we can make fear our friend.
and not make it seem so overwhelming.
So many of you out there have written me letters about fear, and I have handled so many clients concerning fear. All kinds of fear. Dear Pushy Broad, I'm afraid to get back out into the dating world. Dear Pushy Broad, I'm afraid to take the plunge and start a new relationship. Dear Pushy Broad, I'm afraid to get married. Dear Pushy Broad, I'm afraid to start a new business. Dear Pushy Broad, I'm afraid to ask for a promotion. Dear Pushy Broad, I'm afraid to try a new recipe. Whatever it is, fear is the first thing that comes out of someone's mouth when they feel paralyzed, when they feel stuck. So instead of addressing each individual letter in this episode, I'm going to give you some valuable information, some very valuable tips on how to turn fear into a workable, manageable relationship so that you will not be paralyzed. And there are certain steps. Here's the most important one. The only way to deal with fear is to first face it, because avoiding it prevents us from moving forward. Some of us think that we can push our fear down and move past it, but sometimes it has a way of coming back to us. And that is the form of maybe anxiety or nervous tension. It seems to find a way to come back. One of the best ways to deal with fear is to go to a therapist or to go to a coach like the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, which helps you work through avoiding fear and gives you some strategies, which is what I'm going to do today. Sometimes fear is based on trauma. It's especially important to work with a therapist to create a safe environment where you can face your fear and reconstruct your memories if your fears are trauma-based. So make sure that you see a clinician. But one of the first ways to confront your fear is to feel that it's not in front of you or staring you in the face, but visualize yourself walking next to it at a slow pace, understanding that it is not ahead of you or behind you, but right next to you. When you begin to visualize it in this way, being next to you, you can even hold its hand and tell it, it's going to be okay. You have this. You're not going to push me down. You're not standing on top of me or in front of me. You're walking next to me. So now I have the courage to walk with you, because fear does not find a place when it's equal to your courage. Everybody goes through fear, but people that are a little bit more courageous than their fear can start to walk ahead. So if you visualize it on an equal level, it won't appear to take you over. When I hold my hand out to fear and walk with it, I realize that now I have the strength to move forward, because I'm not negating my fear. I'm taking it with me, but I am still taking the steps I need to move forward. So see if that works for you. The other thing that you can do is a technique called mindfulness. In a milder situation, mindfulness meditation techniques allows you to sit with your fear. Sit quietly and observe the present moment. If fear or anxiety arises, recognize it. Watch it rise up. Notice how it feels in your body. Notice where it is in your body. Observe it as it is. Don't try to get rid of it or change it. Try to begin looking at it objectively. Sometimes reframing is a great technique for fear. Rather than sitting in it, picture yourself sitting next to it or opposite it, so that you can begin to desensitize your emotions and look at it objectively. When we look at things objectively, we are less emotional and simply less fearful around it. Here's another way to distinguish fear. I call it perceived fear versus actual fear. A perceived fear is something that we imagine to happen, like, I'm afraid of getting back out into the dating world because I am afraid that men won't find me attractive or interesting anymore. That's a perceived fear. When we perceive something is going to happen in the future, and we're already afraid of the outcome, it is an imagined fear. A perceived fear is an imagined fear. And if you understand that it is imagined, then you can tell yourself it's not actually happening now. It is something that I am creating in my mind. So I can create a different scenario in my mind. I can tell myself that men will find me attractive and interesting. Fear never works when you have a positive attitude. So just staying positive helps negate negativity, which is where fear dwells. So learn to distinguish your fears. If it's an actual fear, it's a crisis situation that's actually happening now, like there's a fire in your house. That certainly isn't a reason to be afraid. So distinguish between the imagined fear or the perceived fear and the actual fear. Fear that is occurring with an event that is happening right now. Another important tool in having a relationship with fear is learning to let go of it. One of the best things I have ever heard is to let go. Letting go of your fear is to love more. So that every single time you're afraid, think about how much you love yourself, how much you are in control of your surroundings, how much you love the people around you, and project that love. To let go is to fear less and love more. Another technique for having a relationship with fear is to make a list of what you can control and what is out of your control. Let's say, for instance, that you worry about money and the bills. What you can control is how you budget. What you can control is learning how to balance a checkbook, talking to a financial advisor, limiting your funds so that you have money for what you need. So, the more you can control certain situations, and the more you pay attention to that by writing it down, the less fearful you will be. Let's say you're up for a promotion at work and you're afraid about it. What you can do is prepare yourself by going over possible interview questions, being as prepared as you can with the kind of examples you'd like to give for why you want to be hired. What you can't control is the final outcome of that interview. So if you turn around and say, "I'm afraid because I don't know what's going to happen if I get the job," or "I don't know what's going to happen if I don't get the job," again, those are fears that are in your mind over situations where you have no control. So distinguish what you can control and what you can't control, and then your fears will become more and more manageable. In addition, the more you prepare for situations, like study for that test, or prepare for that interview, or take that class, or learn how to manage yourself financially, the less afraid you will be. Preparation is a big key to lessening fear. Be prepared. Another way to lessen your fear is to take baby steps. You may not be ready to jump out of that airplane, but you may be ready to go into the small end of the pool. Nobody says you have to dive in with both feet first. Slowly but surely, if you take tiny baby steps towards the direction of your goal, each individual step won't seem so fearful. So, again, A journey is made up of 1,000 steps, but at the end of those steps, you have still reached your goal. Baby steps. Another way to take baby steps is to actually write out a plan. Let's say you want to go back to college, and you're really afraid of all of those things and what college means and studying and everything that goes around with doing something that you haven't done in a while. Instead of focusing on everything that's going to happen while you go to college, I need you to bring yourself back to the present. It's just like a mindfulness technique. And write down what happens first. The first thing you have to do is take a look online and see what colleges you might like. And then the second thing you have to do is to see what courses you might like. And the third thing you have to do is to see if you can financially afford it. And the fourth thing you might have to do is to have a discussion with the family about it. So instead of thinking what's going to happen when I get there, do one thing at a time. Make a list of the steps that will take you to your final goal and break them down one by one. It's never that fearful once you start breaking it down. Which brings me to another way to face your fear. Taking action is the best way to do that. If you make a list of the things that you have to accomplish, and you do one at a time. I call it putting those blinders on, like those horses that take carriage rides where they have the blinders and they only see what's directly in front of them. Do the first step first. Stop worrying about the second or the third or the fourth step, but do first things first and just concentrate on a small amount at a time. So, doing your list, breaking it down, is the best way to get over fear. But you do actually have to do it. But it doesn't seem so hard when it's a tiny step rather than a big jump into that pool. Small steps, easy does it. Fear is based on overwhelm. Overwhelm can produce panic. Slow down the overwhelm by taking it one step at a time, so that you don't have a chance to become overwhelmed. Another way to start overcoming your fear is to think about positive references. Maybe you haven't done exactly this in the present, but you might have done something in the past that you considered overcoming a fear. Recall that experience in a positive light. That becomes a positive reference for the future. So you can say to yourself, I've been in this kind of situation before, and I've overcome it. I walked through it. I made it happen. And sometimes we think, it really wasn't as frightening as I thought it would be. Use that positive reference to propel you into the present. If you did something like this before, you know you can do it again, which means you can face your fear. Remember that having a relationship with fear means you have to talk to it. You have to ask yourself, why are you so afraid? You can also talk it out with a coach or a therapist, as we mentioned before, but you can talk it out with your friends as well. The more you get it out, the more the fear is diffused. And here's a big one, something that I learned from a coach and from a therapist. When I'm really afraid of something, I sit down and write all the reasons why I'm afraid. And then I look at these things and find the worst case scenario, the biggest reason why I'm afraid. I want you to understand the reason for this. It is not enough to keep saying, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, because then we hit a wall. Unless you discover why you're afraid, you will stay perpetually paralyzed. So you must write down the reasons why you're afraid. And then you must pick the worst reason, like, I'm afraid I can't do this because I'm afraid I'm going to lose my house, or I'm afraid I'm going to be rejected and nobody will ever date me anymore, or I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my child forever and they'll never talk to me again. Really big fears. List your worst case scenario when it comes to fear, your worst case scenario. Then what you do is you take a look at that worst case scenario right here, right now, in the present, because it's not happening now. So immediately you can look at this worst case scenario and see it somewhat objectively because it's not occurring. And then you begin to make a plan around your worst case scenario. For instance, let's say your worst case scenario is I'm going to lose my house. Think about that for a moment. Okay, you lose your house. Will you survive? How will you survive? Will you get a new job? Will you stay with friends for a while? Will you rent an apartment? What would your plan be for your worst case scenario? Write it out right now as if it was going to happen tomorrow. The moment you begin to examine your worst case scenario, your worst fear, and have a workable plan to survive it, all of a sudden your fear diminishes greatly. Try it. It really works. And here's one more technique for getting over our fears. Think to yourself, 10 years from now, will you look back and regret not doing what you really wanted to do because you were too afraid to try? A life worth living is a life worth taking risks, calculated risks, risks that are reasonable in our sphere of reference. So ask yourself, will I regret not doing this? And is not doing this worse than actually doing it? Taking risks sometimes and jumping into the deep end of the pool can sometimes give us our life's biggest lessons and most exhilarating moments. So sometimes you just have to close your eyes and jump. Imagine what adventure awaits. We'll be right back. Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today. Let me share with you some of the things that my clients are doing, I am doing, and some of my listeners are doing to adapt to this new reality of ours, considering we may be in this position for quite some time. One of the things that my clients are doing is feeling very grateful about a lot of things, sometimes simple things. Some of my clients are very glad that they don't have to wear makeup every day, that they don't have to drive around a lot, that now they can really save some money. Some of my clients are now becoming more conscious of their spending habits and for the first time creating and sticking to a budget. All of my clients have said that practicing self-discipline is now becoming more prevalent than ever, and they're doing that in a way they had never dreamed before. Spend more time with family, whether you are together physically or you can reach out virtually. Go and expand your mind. Learn new things or a new skill. Many of my clients have begun to practice healthy habits that they know will last well beyond our current situation. Stay connected spiritually. Pray more. Reconnect with your faith. Or for maybe some of you, get interested in finding a faith or a spiritual practice that will help you through. Find your inner spirituality. Give more through talks and meaningful discussions and by reaching out. Practice more patience and tolerance and general gratitude for the world around you and just for life. Rediscover the things that you are grateful for. Most importantly, learn new ways to laugh. Keep laughing. Laughter is always the best medicine. My clients and many of my listeners tell me that they are now taking the time to strengthen their relationship with their husband, wife, or partner, and especially with their children. They're learning to make new friends. Many of my clients now have taken the time to mend fences between family members or friends where there have been disagreements before, because they now realize what's really important in life. Lots of my clients are telling me that their sex life has improved. In addition to communication strengthening, please be more appreciative of your parents and your elders. Practice respect for all life forms around you. And if you need to, this is the time to seek help from a therapist or a coach. And we are all practicing online. It is easier than ever to get in front of a coach or a clinician and get the help that you need. A couple of my clients are first beginning to look at new and exciting careers. Some of my clients have decided that this is going to be their opportunity to reinvent themselves and kind of give themselves a 2.0 upgrade. Some of my clients have started to learn yoga, some have started to meditate, and some have started a whole new exercise and diet regime. All of my clients are practicing self-care diligently. A lot of my clients have decided that now, for the first time, they are organized and neat and tidy, and they're able to keep to that where before, for some reason, they never thought they had the time. It's important to get our lives in order, the way we always promised ourselves that we would, but we use the excuse of not having enough time to stand in our way. Now is the time to think about not drinking, not smoking, curbing our appetite and our weight, and not doing anything to excess. Work on practicing abstinence in all things excessive and addictive. Maybe now's the time to find your voice. Start a blog. Get involved on social media. Give your opinions. Learn your own likes and dislikes. And learn how to separate your opinions from others. Now more than ever is the time to learn to let go and find the peace and balance and serenity in our lives as we realize that nothing matters in this world except living without any pain or strife. Now is the time to practice forgiveness for everything. We are here through no fault of our own. This is a human condition that we just have to learn to cope with at this moment. Remember that some of us will be a little grayer, a little fatter, or maybe a little thinner. But no matter what, we're going to learn a lot about ourselves during this time. Our personal esteem and our personal outlook is getting a master class, whether we like it or not. This is a test of our resilience, our endurance, and our strength as human beings. This is the time when we learn to truly care about ourselves and care about others. We must all rise to this occasion. As we are all struggling, this is the time when we must realize that if we need help, we must seek it out and make it through. Practicing acceptance of all things, practicing and embracing change, realizing that collectively we are extremely powerful, and although we may be facing this in quarantine, we are a unified world facing this together. Be safe, be careful, be happy, be strong, and laugh. We will get through this. This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, saying thanks for listening, and remember, everybody needs a little push.
From the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, New York.
The Pushy Broad from the Bronx would like to thank her production team, songwriter, composer, musician, and soundman Sam Goche, voice artist and announcer Taylor Goche. Oh, that's me! And thanks to collaborative writer and assistant production manager, Richard Torres, virtual assistant and social media guru, Kimberly Studdard. Special thanks to Laura Kravitz, production manager, and Susan Herman, collaborative writer. And a very special thanks to Love Love Studios in Brooklyn,
Brooklyn,
for recording and mixing our music.
Here is disclaimer information that we are required to produce.
Professional coaches provide an ongoing partnership designed to help clients produce fulfilling results in their personal and professional lives. Coaches help people improve their performances and enhance the quality of their lives. Coaching services received from certified life coach Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, are not offered as a substitute for professional mental health care or medical care, and are not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any mental health or medical conditions. The Pushy Broad from the Bronx is not acting as a mental health counselor or a medical professional. All comments and ideas offered by Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, are solely for the purpose of aiding her audience in achieving their goals, and hopefully keep you smiling in the process.